Hello, Blind Cool Tech listeners. Welcome to Malin's Slice of Life podcast.
This is the show for Saturday, November 12th, 2005. Today, I'm going to throw a hodgepodge. Does anybody remember that show, Hodgepodge Lodge? Probably not. It was kind of a nature thing, and they taught you how to do things with wood and sticks and that kind of stuff. Anyway, it's a hodgepodge of sounds. There's been a lot of activity and talk or discussion about relationships and or coping. And since I'm only able to do one show a week, I thought, well, I may be a little off topic, but you know, I'm still going to tackle it. So I plan to present a host of sounds of my friend and I, Maria, in different places dealing with different situations. So I'm hoping that I don't forget anything. And I'll, of course, try to give a little intro before I just throw something up there. Okay. Last night, I had an interesting experience. We were at a friend's house, or apartment rather, but we still call it a house for some reason. And he, well, you might say, he was quite vocal, shall we say, about being tired of living in New York and having people, step on his cane and break his cane. And apparently he had a black eye or a black scar on his eye, which of course I couldn't see, probably nor did Maria. And he just seemed so frustrated. He wanted to move to either Washington, D.C. or to California. And interestingly enough, he was trying to get me to move to California as well, which I'm not ready to do because I don't have a job waiting there, nor do we have lodging there. However, it made me realize that it really is difficult for blind people, in particular, probably totally blind people, which he is, to get around in this really bustling, rushing, mad city. And I felt really horrible for him. I did not know this. And it just made me ill. But, you know, there is that side of it. We have Accessoride, which I have mentioned, which is also known as Distress-a-Ride or just Stress-a-Ride. Because they just do not, their policies are just very interesting. It seems like all the penalties are on the burden, if you will, is all on the passenger with very little on the driver, who can leave a passenger or not pick up a passenger, come too early, leave too late, or vice versa. Unbelievable. So I plan to try to stay away from those things as much as I can until I'm 99. So, and I don't even know if I'll do it then. But I think this, you know, talking about being blind for those of you who heard the beating a path to, or beating our path to Pathmark, I have a little sound clip for you and a little revision or something, update.
Well, you took my bags. I was gonna put the pineapple in a bag so that, you know, because it always comes apart on us and then it's dripping. And since we're walking home, we don't want that.
Okay, so Maria decided that she would have some of those delicious pineapples. And she opened them up, and she took them out, popped it into her mouth. Well, those pineapples turned out to be lovely melons. Not one pineapple did we get. Now, you know, I was so disgusted. I said, you know, this is what happens when you have blind people shopping. So, well, so much for the lovely melons that we had. I'll just have to get my pineapples next time. Now, another thing we enjoy doing is eating out. And we have, of course, as anybody else, you know, our favorite restaurants. And one of the restaurants we enjoy is a lovely, inexpensive, and I do mean inexpensive, restaurant, which is saying something really for the area that the restaurant is in. It coincidentally happens to be very close to maybe a door away from my hair salon. And but it's a lovely Chinese-Cuban place. We, you know, the waiters, if you will, or servers, rather, know us and so forth. Well, you know, you never get away from being blind or partially sighted. And we partials make just as many mistakes as, you know, as totally blind people, believe me, probably sometimes more, because we swear we can see something when it is hardly the truth.
I decided to bring us to one of our favorite Chinese-Cuban haunts. Is that what we're in? Yes. A Chinese-Cuban haunt?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, a restaurant.
Restaurant. It's not a haunt. What? We don't even know the name of the place. It's across the street from the lighthouse. Actually, I like to say it's behind the lighthouse because... And across the street. And just to give you a few little blindy things... after cracking my cheek on the pole, we walk in here, no mishaps really, but we ask for Pepsi with lemon. And being the partially sighted person that I am, I couldn't see how much lemon I was putting into the Pepsi. So needless to say, I have a little Pepsi with a lot of lemon juice. And Maria didn't even know where the lemon was, because we didn't realize exactly that the one plate was had two lemon pieces for the two of us. So here I am pouring away, and she's feeling away looking for hers. So, you know, these things do happen. Now, I have ordered a dinner that's saucy, and I try to be neat. But I'm telling you, sometimes my bosom is nothing more than a tray, which is terrible. I always have to brush my bosom off before.
At least you have a red blouse, so it won't show up as much.
So, you know what? You just live with it. Yeah. Okay, the food is here. It's taped. The recorder goes off.
Okay.
Wherever it is.
Now, unfortunately, although New York is a city that is progressive and popular, we are woefully lacking in anything regarding accessibility. I'll play two things next for you. One is our Chase Bank's talking ATM. Followed by, if I can find it, followed by our talking sign, which I'm certain Larry will appreciate, and as we all do, that one that announces, I believe it's saying Frankfurt Avenue. So, for sure, I have the Chase ATM. Now, what I forgot to say was that I made a previous recording of the Chase EATM, but decided to use this one because I was able to get more of the prompts.
All right, once again, we find ourselves standing in front of the Chase EATM.
Eat 'em,
as I love to call them, yes. Now, I'm going to press the 1, 2, 3, and
circle button again. Now I pressed enter.
He used the 6 key to increase the volume.
But he might.
4 key to decrease the volume. Then press enter to continue. You will cancel your last request.
Again, that happened. You're welcome.
Please unplug your earphones or re-enter access code to start a new transaction.
Now, even though I bought a new set of headphones, I'm not going to use them. 1, 2, 3, enter.
To continue in English, press enter.
Enter.
Welcome to the JCATN. Please use the 6 key to increase the volume, or the 4, louder. Please use
enter.
The 6 key to speed up speech, or the
nope,
4 key to
we're
slow
not going
to
speed it up.
Then, as you use this ATM, you may press enter at any time to go to the next step. Whenever
okay.
you need to choose from a list of options, you can use the 4 key to move backwards and the 6 key to move forward through the list of choices.
Good enough.
The following describes the hardware configuration. The statement printer is the long slot to your right above the deposit port. The card reader is up and through the right of the keypad. The cash dispenser is below the keypad. The receipt paper is to the right of the keypad. The deposit slot is to the right of the keypad. Press enter to continue. Please insert and remove your card.
Okay, that wasn't... I never heard that. I wasn't paying a piece of attention to it, by the way. I hope I put the card in right.
Please use the keypad to enter your PIN. Then press
okay.
enter.
I probably put my card in first.
Please select a service. Access my accounts.
Yep.
You will select an access my accounts. Please select one of the following options. Get fast cash $100.
No, I'm going to press 6.
Get cash.
Yes, I'm going to enter.
You will select it, get cash. Get cash from which account? Checking account.
I thought I only had one.
Please select amount. $20. $40.
Good enough.
Get cash for $40 from checking account.
I pressed the 6.
Is this correct? Press
yes.
6 for yes. Press 4
wait.
For no. Press, would you like a receipt?
No.
6 for the most ATM locations in New York City. 2005 J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, and a member FDIC. Chase will charge your account $1.50.
That's how I know it was my card, because as a Chase customer, Maria doesn't get charged.
Would you like to continue? Press 6 for yes.
Yes.
For most ATM locations in New
then,
York City.
Because I'm not a Chase customer, I have to go through their entire advertisement.
Your cash.
Oh, that it was not bad at all. Sometimes we stand here for an hour listening. Okay, maybe not quite an hour. Okay, now you know how much money I have. Wonderful. All right, now, I'm hoping that this is the Chase card, so I'm going to do the same thing for Maria.
To continue in English, press welcome to the JCATM. Please use the 6 key to...
I try to speed up so it won't...
You may press enter at any time, so go to the next... The following describe, please insert and remove...
Okay, that worked this time. There's a lot of traffic and there's a lot of noise, so...
Enter your PIN, then press enter.
Okay, same PIN.
Please select the service. Access my accounts. You will select and access my accounts. Please select one of the following options. Get fast cash $100.
6.
Get cash. You will select
enter.
Get cash. Please select amount. $20.
Yes.
Get cash for $20 from check-in ending with number 59575.
Sounds good to me.
Correct.
Yes.
Would you like a receipt?
No.
Click
4.
Click the card in front of the reader and you're done. Link. A faster way.
What? Oh, I thought it was giving me new instructions.
Please take your cash. The cash.
You can now blink.
The keypad.
Blink?
Yeah, they have, they're going to have, maybe it's RFID. You have to get what you have to. Okay, you don't have to hear all of that. So here we go. Oh, okay. Real?
I'm looking because it's open.
Oh, yeah. But it doesn't show anything on the screen that's discernible to anybody except welcome to Chase.
All right, so what seemed like forever of sifting through my ever-growing recordings, I did manage to find the little clip of the talking sign. Yes, we have two that I know of, one on 59th Street on Park Avenue and the other on 6th Avenue and 23rd Street, because that is near a very popular building for the blind, or for people who are blind and or partially sighted, and I believe there are also some people who are in wheelchairs there. In any case, here it is.
So over here we have the little button, and I don't know if the mic will pick it up, but so he says wait until it's time for us to cross the street. And one of the funny things is sometimes people stand here and they press the button thinking that it's going to change the light, but it doesn't do that. So it's still saying wait. And now see if I can...
Walk sign is on and cross Park Avenue.
There you go. I tried to move the mic a little close so you could get that.
This next piece will be read by Microsoft Mike. I wanted Microsoft Mary, but I just cannot make the program text to audio, which I purchased from enablemart.com, and that's enablemart.com, I can't make her stay as the default voice, or I have to keep changing it, and I've been going through changes anyway, and somehow I'm not sure she's as clear, and I really must investigate further the Neo speeches that that Larry uses. I don't know whether they cost money or anything, but so I hope somebody lets me know how to get them and so forth, but if not, you know I will investigate. Anyway, the article is called Blind Like Me, and it is something I wrote in response to a vision crisis that I was going through. By the way, of course I got the idea of allowing a synthesizer to read it from Larry Skutkan, from whom many wonderful ideas have sprung.
Blind Like Me. 1/24/2005. A winter wonderland in lovely, snow-covered Central Park. Yes, this is a twist on the title of a famous novel, but it just came to me and I thought it more than fitting. Blindness Today. One might think that this would have been the first article on the site, but, as usual, I needed prompting. The unexpected cattle prod jolt came on Friday, January 21, when I awoke to extremely blurred vision, which I really didn't notice until, standing in front of my bathroom mirror, I attempted to wipe off what I perceived to be condensation left after a shower. Funny, my visage wasn't becoming any clearer, and there were those horrible little floater things bouncing around again. I'd first noticed those odd annoyances on Monday upon trying to clean what I thought was a smudged laptop screen. There's no other way to describe the buggers, they just look weird. Panicked, my insides began to quake and I lost most of my sensibilities. How can this be, you ask? I've been a person with partial sight all my life. Didn't I know some vision change or loss was inevitable? Yes. Hadn't I attempted to comfort those who had gone through vision loss? Yes again. Aren't I sensitized to vision impairment in all its forms? I hope so. But this wasn't someone else. This was me. I was not ready to lose what precious vision I have, but as I make daily adjustments to my new lot in life, I realize that I'm definitely not ready to give up my favorite pastimes and activities. For instance, I'm now writing this article on my beloved laptop using a high-contrast black display, which keeps those pesky floaters at bay. Wow, that rhymed. My JAWS screen reader is yakking away as I type and I'm seeing my words go by in glorious large print, thanks to the Zoom Text Extra screen magnification program. I consider myself extremely fortunate to have these tools, for without them I would be totally frustrated, adrift on a sea of computer inaccessibility. Practically and economically, I also admit that I would not be an instructor of such assistive technologies. I sometimes ruminate on what career I might have chosen. Best not to speculate, though. I was guided down the right path for me. Growing up blind. There is no other way to put this other than children can be, and are unfailingly cruel to those who are different. While at the New York Institute for the Education of the Blind, I was one of many. Upon entering public school, I found myself thrust into the unenviable minority position. I did not know one other child with a visual impairment. To use a popular children's phrase, I was it. Each new school year brought a fresh wave of thoughtless comments and just plain meanness from my classmates. I recall my mother coming to my aid, butcher knife in hand, to severely injure a boy who had socked me under my eye. The reason? He wanted my seat in social studies class. Evilly, I sincerely wish that someone punched him in the eye. Who knows, though, perhaps he went on to become a pillar of his community. Doubtful. Deep insecurities about my looks developed from classmates taunting me while taking class photos. Why do these memories still have the power to cause tears? Easy. You remember extremes both in kindness and mean-spiritedness. Those days, however, are long gone and I have lived to have the last laugh. Believing I have achieved a modicum of success in my profession, this website proves that I've managed to find many topics upon which to write. I mean, really my eyes may not work but my brain functions fairly well. Faithful reader, was that smirk absolutely necessary? Going blind. When I was younger, I was able to see the date on a quarter. Can you imagine that? I enjoyed cartoons, movies, television shows and think I saw most of the action. In my 30s, however, watching television and movies became a chore. Objects appeared fuzzy and dim. I started doing a lot more growling at what I could not see. Poor Maria endured it all. Crystal clear, chilling reality set in each time we exited our apartment house door. I would announce that it was dark and Maria would challenge my statement. After a while, she no longer disputed my claim, realizing major changes in my vision were occurring. I was simply going on my merry way down the blind track. A colleague recommended a doctor surgeon, who would set me on a new, glaringly bright path. I'm still blind, but if I'm not losing my memory along with my eyesight, I've been telling anyone who needs to know, or who cares to listen that I underwent sight-saving surgery in 1997. After much eyeball scrutiny, it was decided that I might benefit from laser surgery to remove my ugly, dense cataract. How do I know it was ugly? Well, science is an amazing thing. You sit in a chair in the ophthalmologist's office, they move a huge device in front of your eye and you see what you've never seen before. Eek. In my case, I saw a large, floating, dark mass obscuring what little vision I possessed. No small wonder that I needed to be led around the office by the technicians. It appeared so dim to me. Honestly, the procedure could only have improved things at that point. I am not religious, but I did some serious soul searching about losing the one eye out of which I was able to see. Let's face it, my left eye is lovely, but is only there for show and is decent enough to track with my right eye. For this, I'm truly grateful as there are so many who are forced to wear dark glasses because their eyes are not acceptable to the sighted public. This statement reminds me of a movie in which we found ourselves cast as street musicians. I was pleased that we were to sing one of my own concocted songs. Pleasure turned to fuming as they placed dark glasses on me so that we'd look blind. I was furious but said nothing. This is a condition I've coined as blind impotence, where a person with a visual impairment finds themselves in an outrageous situation and yet says nothing, or allows a sighted family member, friend, or advocate to speak for them or defend them in some way. I'm working on becoming more assertive. There are those out there, though, who would be shocked to hear me admit this, as they probably believe I do too much talking as it is. Ah well. The glaring truth about blindness. Immediately after my surgery, I noticed a marked improvement in my vision. People and objects were so much brighter and clearer. It was a miracle to me anyway. I can hardly believe that I had the nerve to sing and play my guitar that very day. How bizarre I must have looked with the patch still on my eye. I was probably ecstatic that I was still able to see that I just didn't care. At this point, I must recount an important, otherworldly event leading up to my surgery. Maria and I once attended services at Marble Collegiate Church. We loved the peaceful atmosphere, uplifting sermons, glorious singing and sumptuous lunches. Guess one could say that we were spiritually and physically nourished. It was after one of these services, as we were making our way towards the dining room, that a woman, whom I could not see, gently took my arm and said something to the effect that I would see again. I relayed the message to Maria and we went on to have a lovely feast. Her profound words stayed with me, though, and will go with me when I shuffle off this mortal coil. She really was a woman of vision. So there I am one evening post-surgery watching a performance of Les Miserables. Hey! What is that? I'm seeing an image of the singer's head above the real thing. That can't be. How strange. I called my surgeon the very next day and told him about this anomaly. He suggested that we could try a second surgery to clear it up. I, of course, jumped at the chance and once again found myself under a hot laser. By the way, faithful reader, in my first operation, I'm not certain what happened, but I began to feel the heat of the laser, even though I was slightly out of it. I immediately let them know about it. Ouch. Oops. I hope you're not squeamish about that sort of thing. Despite my doctor's heroic efforts, the glare remained with me and I now refer to it as Lin's light show. I was a good patient for a while and went for regular visits, but became depressed as the outlook, if you will, was not positive. It seems that the lens is off-center and it would be risky to remove it in an attempt to correct its placement. All they need to do is click on the center button on my eyeball. No? Well, it was worth a try. This brings me to my most recent visit to my eyeball specialist. As we sat waiting for him, his technician prattled on about how happy we were, and that we had a good attitude about being blind. I smiled automatically but later told Maria how ridiculous I thought the comments to be, and that I should have offered a snappy retort. I'm not always thrilled with this blind thing and, yes, I'll admit that I do dream of being able to drive. I know. That's so stereotypical. In reality, faithful reader, I think it would be infinitely safer if Maria drove as she possesses a calmer persona. I am certain I might have succumbed to road rage. As I tramp through the streets of New York, muttering to myself, one might assume I'm suffering from pedestrian paranoia, as it is. Blind picks. Why in the world would a person with partial sight even contemplate purchasing a digital camera? Why not? A twinkle comes to my eye and a wry smile to my lips, as I drop my cane and hold up my camera. What must J.Q. public be thinking? I'm sure I've garnered a few double takes. Snapping my pictures, I then have major chuckles trying to figure out who's who. It is quite satisfying to me to be able to perform the entire process in complete independence. The Canon PowerShot line of cameras are really blind-friendly. Oh, alright. I'll use the more professional term, they're accessible. They make all manner of sounds to let you know what you're doing. It's absolutely fantastic and I love using it. I'm slightly green with envy, though, as a friend has already created a movie, which he transferred to a DVD. The amazing thing is that I believe that he has poorer vision than I. I want to capture our special moments on DVD, as well, and I will. Just keep talking and I'll find you. Perhaps one day I'll actually remember to rename the photos directly after I've uploaded them, thus avoiding later confusion. Nah. As with many tricks, I'm just not a good blind person. I should label my clothes, fold my money in different ways, keep objects in the same place. Honestly, I just have so many other projects to fill my time that I just don't have the inclination to do all those organizational tasks. Blindness, whatever will be, will be. Individuals often suffer from the mistaken idea that they are out there alone. The secret is finding those who share your particular issue. I belong to a strong community of persons with visual impairment and found at least two friends who share my condition and were willing to commiserate and offer helpful tips on coping. This lifted an incredible weight from my shoulders. I am also not blind, pardon that really poor pun, to the fact that I have a wonderfully supportive partner in Maria, who promises to stick with me, even if I become as blind as a bat. Oh come on. Bats are blind. My being more blind than partially sighted should be quite interesting. I am so accustomed to alerting us to the fact that we have the walk signal, reading directions on frozen food boxes, picking out items in stores colors excluded, how will I manage? How silly. I'll manage using both low and high-tech methods, such as listening to the traffic and purchasing a color identifier. Maria's pretty good with colors but she has had her moments of doubt, shall we say, and has sent me off to work wearing interesting color combinations, to say the very least. I've often heard it said that going blind is one of the biggest fears shared by so many individuals. You know what, it's not so bad. It all depends on how you choose to deal with your situation. Having my recent episode reinforced the fact that I'll have to adjust, because I have to live and be productive, and vision loss is not going to hinder my plans in any way. Ouch. Has that wall always been there? Faithful reader, how are you at Sighted Guide? If you'd like more information on the very talkative Dress Screen Reader, visit the Freedom Scientific website. For information on the magnification powers of Zoom Text Extra, visit the I2 website. Comments to Lin return to Malin's right on homepage 1.
So I just want to leave you with a few words regarding coping with blindness and being blind. I don't fold my money in, the way I should. It's generally in a, when I have dollars on me, because I'm generally carrying the plastic, it's generally in a crumple in my pocket. And I realized that I should become a better blind person at that, but so far it's worked. Maria is definitely more organized than I when it comes to her belongings and so forth. Mine are strewn hither and yon, and hers are nice and neat. We ask for help generally when we need it. Sometimes we're offered it when we don't need it. In terms of taxis, well, I can say that I'm certain several have passed us by and we just don't even know. We just don't, you know, always get a chance to call a cab or anything like that. Only if we're going to the airport or something, but that is a very rare occasion. People in restaurants are generally kind to us. We have had so few instances where they weren't that it is rare. One time, though, Maria will tell you that she did have the plate of food taken away from her as she was going to stick the fork into the food because it was a restaurant that was near the theater district, and I guess they figured we were going to a show and they wanted to, you know, get the courses out quickly. But that was really quite comical. Yes, we go through frustrations and just, you know, angst. But as anybody, but we cope. And I think that's what we all do. We manage and we find ways and tools that work for us. So, this is Lynette signing off for the Slice of Life podcast. Just think of it as the soul of podcasting. All right. Until next week, ta-ta, dears. I'd like to leave you with a little music, which was wonderfully surprising in our subway station. I don't have to say anything about it, but I do apologize because I must say the word cool 50 times. But since the, you know, our main program is called Blind Cool Tech, I suppose it's somewhat appropriate.
I don't... That's the Harry Potter theme! Oh, wow. Oh, for goodness sake.
I'd like to see that movie.
We're gonna go. If you'd like to see it, we'll go. When is it out? It's not out just next week?
It's Friday.
Let's go. Harry Potter theme anywhere. At least it's for the movie anyway.
Where is that being played?
Across the way?
I know.
On what? I'd like to know.
A saw.
A saw! Thank you!
A saw!
As always, I'd like to thank Ms. Maria Rios for providing the spoken intro and Mr. Andre Louis for providing the musical intro. You can hear more of Mr. Louis' music at www.andrelouis.com. That's AndreLouis.com. You can contact me at superlin at earthlink.net or through the Blind Cool Tech email list. Thanks.